DPN, welcome back. This is Matt. Welcome to the Pilot Network podcast. Great to have you back with us. I am honored today to have Pete Larrabee with us, the one, the only. We flew together way back in the day, and we're back again to talk about the DoD Skillbridge program. Pete, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. How's it going, buddy? Good to see you.
Pretty good. Good to see you, too. So, I guess let's just start off for those who don't know you, which is probably not that many people, but in TBN. But tell us a little bit about your background, where you're at right now, and kind of what you're up to.
So, career military, basically flew Lear jets and now and tankers ever since I first started, and now I'm basically still active duty, and I've got about 21 years of service, but. Tried to make the transition to the commercial airlines, and COVID had some other plans for me. So currently sitting on the Air Force dime and trying to figure out what to do next.
Yeah, COVID kind of threw a wrench into everything, but there's a hiring wave coming, that's for sure. So one of the things that we like to do is we like to talk about interesting stuff like the Skillbridge program or Palace Chase versus Palace Front, or all these programs that are usually a really great deal, but people just don't hear about them. And Skillbridge is a great example of that. I never knew this thing existed, and it's actually been around for a long time. But you have actually done the program, right? So do you want to tell us a little bit about it and kind of what it is and what your experience has been?
Sure. So when I did the program, I was getting ready to transition to get off of active duty. And so I was in the TAPS program, which is the retirement program that everybody has to do to get off active duty. And during that program, somebody mentioned something about this Skillbridge program. And so, of course, it piqued my interest, especially because it allowed me to potentially work somewhere else for the last 6 months of my career. And the word on the street was the Air Force was pretty new to the program. And about 2 years earlier, the Army and the Marine Corps had been doing it already. So they were pretty up to speed on how Skillbridge worked. But the Navy and the Air Force was kind of a last minute add, even though it's a DoD program. So the thing that really piqued my interest was when they told us about it in TAPS, they basically said, hey, you can be a yoga instructor for the last 6 months of your career. And I said, wow, what do I have to do to sign up for that? Maybe I could be a surf instructor, you know? So I thought that'd be a great idea to try to transition to something different. And so that's kind of what piqued my interest. And so then I did a lot of research and found out a lot about the program and kind of baby stepped towards signing up for it. So in a long story short, I basically found out the process, went through everything and signed up for it. There's a lot to it, but that's basically the gist of how I found out about it.
That's awesome. So the reason it came on to my radar and TPN in general is that we were introduced. There's a couple of our TPN sponsors that have decided to do the Skillbridge program and participate, and they're looking for pilots. They're actually flying programs to where a pilot can go from maybe the last 10 or 20 years as a military pilot only, and transition into some civilian flight experience and have that on their resume and their background, which in my opinion, not only makes you a more well-rounded pilot, a safer pilot, but it also makes your applications look better when you go to the airlines because you have a little bit of a diverse experience on there that maybe not everyone in your situation has. So when we were approached by a couple of these companies wanting to participate in the Skillbridge, I was like, I didn't really understand what it was, but when I looked into it, it was really cool because essentially for the last 6 months of your active duty service commitment, what you can go and do what's called an internship, and you're essentially still active duty. It's just your reportable duty station is to this company, whatever that is. And it doesn't have to be a flying position. It could be a yoga studio or a surf shop, but you know, anywhere that can help broaden skills and bridge that gap between military service and your transition to civilian life is awesome. And especially for pilots, being able to do some career broadening is huge as well. So when you signed up, what was the process? What did you go through to, how did you initiate that?
So I'll start with, everything's done through the education office. So it's completely separate. It's considered a permissive TDY the entire time you're on the program. There's a couple caveats to the program that, you know, I'd like everybody to know. The civilian company that you end up working for can't pay you because you're getting paid by the Air Force. And also, don't be distracted by there's already approved programs out there in the system. You can always find a company and get that approved through the program as well. You just have to get it vetted. And really, the biggest thing with that is that it doesn't conflict with the Air Force in some way that to make it impossible for you to work for both companies. So there are already a litany of companies out there that are available, and to include, there's actually some schools out there that I've been told that are offering programs through the Skill Bridge that you can get, you know, certain degrees with on top of the Skill Bridge. So it's pretty cool.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that companies that weren't already accepted to the program could essentially apply on the spot and, you know, after a vetting process be approved. That's a great idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so that was part of what I did. So just an example, the company that I actually worked for was called Wounded Warrior Ohana. It was a nonprofit organization in Hawaii that I ended up having to get vetted, you know, and make sure that it didn't conflict with the Air Force. And of course it didn't, but that's just something to keep in your hip pocket when you're looking for companies. It's nice to know that there are already a lot of companies approved, but that doesn't mean that shouldn't stop you from, you know, finding a company that you really want to work for, maybe in the future. Maybe this is a stepping stone for you that you, obviously you can't get paid in the 6 months that you're interning with them, but it would set you up if that's something you want to do after, and then maybe work for that company when you're not getting paid by the Air Force.
Right. But during that 6 months, you're still getting your active duty paycheck and benefits and everything, like including BAH, I assume, everything is as if you were showing up to the squadron normally.
Yeah, 100%. So there's a whole different type of, you know, setup for everybody. Everybody does it differently. So I'll give you an example. So you don't have to do the full 6 months of Skill Bridge. You can do 3 months of it and then take your terminal 3 months. And during that terminal, then you can go work, you can actually get paid by that company. So there's all kinds of options. If you end up doing the entire 6 months of Skill Bridge, then you don't get your permissive, and you definitely want to burn your leave prior to starting Skill Bridge if you do have a lot of leave saved up, because you can't sell the leave back when you're done. So there's a couple little nuances that people should know if they're going to do the full 6 months that you're going to want to have figured out before you do it. So
sure, that makes sense. So is it the very last 6 months, i.e. 180, you know, your date of separation minus 180 days, or can you do it in, you know, a year prior and then do 6 months before your date of separation? How does that work?
It has to be the last 6 months. Yeah. So it works out where you can completely out-process your base so that when your Skill Bridge is over, that's when you get your retirement check or your separation or whatever that is that you're getting. Some people have heard of some horror stories where they make you come back and sign out of the base the last, you know, 5 days of the, you know, program or whatever. But the reg actually says that you can do all of that prior to starting Skill Bridge. So I've heard of folks that will actually leave wherever they're at like go to Texas when they're still stationed in Hawaii, but do their skill bridge in Texas. And that's completely legit. So they still get VAH. They still get all the stuff that you would normally get while you're on the program.
Wow, that's great. And so what did you end up doing? Did you, you did the last 6 months with Wounded Warrior, and then went into the Guard or Reserve after that, or?
So I was about halfway through the program. I was going to do the full 6 months, and I had burned all my leave prior to starting the program. But about halfway through, it happened to be in April of 20. And that's when, you know, the threat of the airlines furloughing, and I just didn't see a warm fuzzy in my future of staying on with any airline. So I went ahead and pulled my retirement. So when I pulled my retirement, I ended up having to forego the rest of the Skill Bridge program. And I have since been told, so, you know, hopefully this doesn't, you know, scare people away, but there is ways to do it again, even though the Skill Bridge says it's only a one-time good deal. You know, this is a circumstance that I've been told by the program manager that could be waived in the event I want to try to do Skill Bridge in the future. So
possibly just top off the rest of the time that you know, the balance of the 6 months that you didn't do before.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see if I use it again. If I do the Palace Front this summer, which I'm trying to do, it's just going to be a transition to the Guard. So Skill Bridge won't be a thing.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I think for guys and gals that are getting ready to get off active duty at the 12-year point, or even if they're retiring, it's certainly a viable option right now, because the hiring wave, like the airlines are not hiring yet, but all indications point to they're going to come back strong. Hiring is going to be at a pace that we saw pre-COVID, and possibly even more potentially. And this really gives people an opportunity to do something else for that last 6 months. It's almost a 6 month terminal leave, almost is what it feels like. And then especially if you're strategic about where you do that Skill Bridge, it sounds like a really great program.
Yeah. And to be honest, it's, I wish I would have known about it years ago so I could help more people, but you know, I'm trying to pass the word out to as many people as I can. And I haven't heard of anybody being turned down from their leadership to participate in the program, you know, getting the word out to folks that the opportunity is there, and that, you know, they have a lot of options. I just learned recently about the school options, which I thought were really cool. So those of you who don't want to, you know, maybe fly as a post career and want to do something, you know, with an MBA or something like that, there are schools that are already approved by the Skill Bridge program to attend and get that additional degree or whatever it is that you want to get post career. Just something helpful to add to your resume as well.
No, that's awesome. And this is something that we will be exploring, we meaning TPN. We'll be exploring more and putting some posts out and doing some extra discussions on it. But Pete, it was awesome to kind of hear it firsthand from someone who has done the program and recommends it. And it's something that I think is certainly a viable option for people to consider if they're looking at leaving active duty and either going to the Guard and Reserve or going back into the civilian workforce directly. So if anyone wants to ask you any questions about it directly, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Just message me on Facebook or send me a note on TPN. I check in frequently on TPN. So I'm hopefully a wealth of information on the subject, and I know things change, but you know, I'm willing to help anybody who's interested in learning more.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I actually helped the facilitator do the frequently asked questions and go through a lot of the issues that they were having when the Air Force started the program. So hopefully that'll be helpful if anybody has any questions.
No, that's awesome. And we'll definitely link to that in the show notes. So it's really simple to get there. But for anyone who's just listening, you can go to thepilotnetwork.com/skillbridge, and we'll have a kind of an application of sorts where you can put in some of your information, and we'll help you kind of vector towards some of those companies that are working with us to find pilots, so they can do some flying while they're on SkillBridge, and then we're happy to help in any other way we can. And as always, if you want to get a hold of Adam or myself, you can email us at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.com or find us on TPN. We're always there paying attention, and we're really easy to find. So until next time, fly safe, tailwinds, and keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. Take care, everybody.
Aloha.